Good morning, everybody. Okay, so I want to discuss here the orbital and magnetic physics, in particular compound spinels, and I'm focusing on the vanadium spinels. Here the T2G orbitals are partially filled, so the orbital degree of freedom is active in these compounds. And the, yes, where is my control? Yes. And this is the outline of my talk. I want to show you two topics here. One is concerning with this zinc compound, and the other one is for aluminium vanadate. And before going into these two materials, I will show you some brief introduction to the spinel compounds, including lattice structure and the orbital states, and some complete lists of the T2G spinels. And in the first example, zinc vanadate, I want to discuss about the theoretical controversy on the orbital ordering patterns and also the thermodynamics in this compound. And the main focus is on these theoretical different proposals for the spin and orbital physics in this compound. So I want to discuss the relative importance of Kugel-Chomsky super exchange and Jantera coupling and relativistic spin orbit coupling. And also I want to make a brief comment on the symmetry analysis, because orbital degree of freedom is coupled to lattice degree of freedom, so the symmetry is very important. And actually the recent experiments on the related manganese vanadium 204 gave us some lesson for this symmetry analysis, and there is some hint to this controversy. And the second example is this aluminium vanadate. We use this electrode. And here I want to discuss some interesting phenomena, self-organized cluster. We call this heptamer because cluster includes seven sites. And I have this heptamer here. And I want to show some proposal of this heptamer scenario to understand the physical properties of this aluminium compound. And actually this heptamer is a kind of molecule of bonding states with T2D orbitals. And finally, I will make some comments on the implication of this cluster to the famous heavy fermion compound lithium vanadate. Okay, so let me start from the very brief introduction to the spinels. The chemical formula is given by Av2O4, and this, I show here the cubic unit cell of this system. This is very complicated, but you can see basically two different objects. One is this yellow AO4 tetrahedra, and the other is this BO6 octahedra. And I will discuss the so-called B spinels. So in these B spinels, A sites cations are non-magnetic, so we can forget about these yellow things. Then you can see this three-dimensional network of edge-sharing BO6 octahedra. And in each center of octahedron, we have B magnetic cations. And if you connect them, then we end up with this famous pyroclastic. And it is famous for the strong geometrical fluctuation. So these spinels have this pyroclastic in the magnetic sublattice. So the fluctuation is very important here.
In the unit cell, there are four formal units, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Four, yeah?
So pyroclore lattice have four sites unit cell. Yeah, Brabe lattice is four sites. So this tetrahedra is a Brabe lattice of this pyroclore. So this is the extended cubic, the so-called cubic unit cell, containing 16 sites. And this is a kind of incomplete table of the B spinels with T2G electrons. And in the upper column, I show here the compound with integer number of B electrons, B1, B2, and B3. This is titanium compound, this is vanadium, and this is chromium. And in the lower panel, I show here the half integer compound, I mean D0.5, D1.5, and D2.5. They are called mixed valence compounds. So, and in my talk, I will focus on this vanadate and this zinc or magnesium vanadate and aluminum vanadate. And the, yeah, in this topic, I will focus on the mechanism of two transitions and complicated order, magnetic order, and the role of orbital degree of freedom. And I will discuss some controversy on this topic. And in this aluminum vanadate, I will show a scenario of the self-organization of the cluster heptamers. And the, in relation to this cluster formation, I will discuss a little bit about this famous heavy fermion, lithium vanadate. And the, yeah, actually, very recently we worked on this chromium oxide also. And this is actually D3 compound. So the 3-4 T2G orbital is half filled. So this is spin-only system. And the, even though there is only spin degree of freedom, there are several interesting properties in this compound. For example, the half magnetization plateau because of the strong geometrical fluctuation. But the, yeah, this talk is on the orbital physics, so I omit this topic. So if you're interested in this, ask me and let's discuss this. And the, okay, so, and the, yeah, before going into the zinc vanadate, I show here the web page of our workshop, wiki page. And this page was edited by Van den Brink last week for after our discussion in the Wednesday session. And he kindly listed many topics here. And my talk will be related to these several points in this page. For example, I will discuss the importance of relativistic spin orbit coupling in a T2G system, and also the orbital and fluctuation is important, especially in the orbitals in frustrated here, the pyrography. And also I will discuss the relative importance of Young Terra versus super exchange. And also, as we have seen, the lattice structure has edge sharing octahedra, so this role of geometry is important here. And also I will discuss some dimensionality reduction due to orbital ordering in zinc vanadate. And also I will make a brief comment on the direct PD hopping versus PPD in this compound. Okay, so let me start from zinc topic. So this compound shows two transitions. Here I show the specific heat and the magnetic susceptibility. You can see two anomalies here. One is this 50K transition. This is a first order transition with structural change from high temperature cubic to low temperature tetragonal phase. And this red point shows the lattice constant in the cubic itself. So C-axis is shrinked and AB elongated. And the difference 0.6%, I think. And the second transition is here. This is a continuous transition, and the, this is magnetic transition. Actually, the antiferromagnetic moment appears here. And the lower panel, this panel, shows the entropy estimate from this specific heat. And you can see some jump here. This is first order transition, and the entropy changes actually here the about 30 or 40% of log 3. And the, you can see very tiny change here. Entropy is changing here less than 5% at magnetic ordering. So this is very small change. And actually, this is very important. And the, also the, in the magnetic susceptibility, the change at TC2 is very small. At TC1, there is a jump, but this is very tiny change. And the, yes, and the, in the lowest temperature phase, we have the so-called I41 over AMD lattice symmetry. I will discuss this later. But anyway, this is obtained by X-ray diffraction data for powder sample. And the, yes, this is very important point in the latter discussion. So I will come back on this point.
Can you remind me actually what is energy gap?
Energy gap. I don't remember the exact value, but this is a very good Mopin's data. Yeah, quite big. I think the resistivity is very high. It is unmeasurable.
Right? It's big.
Order of electron volt, right?
Order of electron volt, I think it was one.
You estimated in the first principle, right? What was the value of your?
We get up to one to two electron volts.
Okay. Yeah, it's huge. Of course.
you just run with different U's. So okay. You basically.
Well, anyway, the resistivity is high enough, and the very quiet activation
time. Yeah,
yeah. Of course, a powder sample. Yeah. 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 But later I will show the resistivity data for the powder sample of aluminum vanadate. And the, yeah, I'm sure that the zinc vanadate resistivity is much higher than the aluminum vanadate.
I know that it's much higher, but it's a vanadate.
Yeah, I will check that.
Okay.
I believe that this is a good Mopin's reading state. Okay, and the orbital order state is not directly determined in experiments. But on the other hand, the magnetic state is determined by these people, by neutron scattering experiment. And the ordering state is like this. This is basically collinear antiferromagnetic state. And it is complicated, but you can see up, down, nail type ordering along this 110 chain, or 110 chain. And you can see up, down, up, down, down, four times period ordering along 011 or 101 directions. And at t equals zero, the antiferromagnetic moment is largely reduced from the saturation value 2 mu b. The estimate is around 0.6 mu b. And here we have 2d electrons coupled by Hund-Sruhr coupling. So the moment expected value is s equal 1. So full saturation should be 2 mu b, but it is much reduced from that value.
Sorry, excuse me. Last week, so Radelli, in fact, was saying that they get a peak higher than that, so it's
0.9. Okay. Yeah, this is the estimate from Sun-Han Lee's data.
Yeah.
And what does Barry?
Yeah, it gets a little bit higher, so like 0.9.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Anyway, it is reduced. It is reduced. Almost half or less than half. Okay. And so the questions are the following. Number one, what is the microscopic mechanism of these two transitions, and who is the main player, super exchanges or Yantera or relativistic spin orbit coupling? This is a very important point. And the second question is how the complicated antiferromagnetic ordering is stabilized in this compound, and also the moments why this is reduced so largely. And finally, we want to answer the role of the orbital degree of freedom in this compound. And if there are orbital ordering, or if yes, what types of orbital ordering is there. Okay, so let me start from our model, and I will discuss other models after that. Our model was based on the simple Kugel-Chomsky type exchange, which is derived from three-fold Mach orbital Hubble model for T2G manifold, and we included tetragonal Yantera coupling. And we assumed several things. One is for the transfer integrals in the Mach orbital Hubble model, we assumed we included only sigma-type transfer integrals, which is shown in this view graph. For example, for nearest neighbor transfer integrals, we included this kind of dd, dxy overlap along xy chain. This is the largest contribution, I believe, in this compound. And also we included this kind of next nearest transfer overlap along the chain. We call this T3rd because this is the third neighbor in the original pile coordinates. So yeah, probably for nearest neighbor coupling, the DD direct should be the main contribution. But for this third neighbor transfer integrals, DD or DPPD overlap contribute to this. And these values are taken from the first principle estimate tight binding fit for the first principle random calculation for the related Benedict, Lithium Benedict.
If you have an orientated pattern, you mean that you didn't consider, say, the motion of all possible motions of all of the things, but you only considered this string.
We restricted in one motion because the experimental C-axis is string, so we included only this.
That is
the actually assumption. I mean, we break the symmetry by hand. And also we assume the phonon degree of freedom as classical object. And also we neglected the spin relativistic spin orbit coupling. This is the point that we discussed this later. And also we completely neglect trigonal distortion. So yeah, I show here the model, but it looks very complicated. So yeah.
Did the hoppings come from where? Some
which hopping?
The overlaps.
Yes.
This is this one?
Yeah.
This is DD direct for nearest neighbor.
Number
comes from tight binding fit for the band calculation. Actually this is not for zinc Benedict, lithium Benedict, but we borrow this value. Do you have yes, I believe so, because we derived the effective exchange model, and J2 is frustrated actually, and also J2 is not straight in this direction, it is bending, so the path is rather complicated, and I believe that the overlap should be small, and actually tight binding fit, the second is rather smaller than this. And this is the derived model, and this looks complicated, but it has very general features of this kind of Kruger-Komsky type model. So the coupling is divided into two different contributions. One favors in ferro and orbital anti-ferro correlation, and the other term favors in anti-ferro and orbital ferro configuration. And also the symmetry is very general, common to the Kruger-Komsky type model. So spin part, this S dot S, is completely isotropic Heisenberg. And the orbital part is very anisotropic. And this is very general feature. And actually our model is extreme because it is completely Ising type coupling because we assumed we included only sigma type coupling. It is diagonal to orbital. So it doesn't induce any exchange type orbital coupling. It is completely Ising type. And so that is the, I think, the assumption.
What about the Ising axis depends on which?
Of course, it depends on bond direction and orbital state. So this is very complicated. This is not Ising, exactly speaking. It is three-state bond type because we have three orbitals. And yeah, as you said, the interaction coupling depends on direction as well as orbital state. Yeah. Okay, and also we included tetragonal Yantera coupling, which is, yeah, which induces this kind of splitting. So as I said, we broke the symmetry by hand.
Can you repeat maybe just so what was the reason for neglecting the hopping
via oxygen? Actually, for nearest neighbor, we can say that this term comes from DD direct, not DPD, because T2G orbital has a large overlap along the chain. But probably for third neighbor term, probably we should think about DPPD because they are far and the.
So your classical
things
are
normalized
how?
Actually, the model at this stage, the model is quantum. But we approximate this model by at the classical level in the actual calculation. Actually, this is spin one operator.
From that calculation, can you separate direct DD overlap and y complement?
Yeah, you can do that.
What can you say about it? Because in principle, actually, it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, using downfolding, you can do that. Basically, yeah. you decide to downfold only to the vanadium orbitals, or you decide to leave active vanadium and oxygen orbitals, and yet then you just compare the difference in parameters between one and the other, and you can say whether the oxygen is really important or not.
And we did that. And what did you get?
Well, for this system, I didn't do that. I did that, for instance, for a copper tellurate, which is also also a frustrating system. Copper tellurate.
Copper is maybe very much different because everything will be like oxygen.
Yeah, but here I didn't do that. So we can do that. So
can you bring one of the things somebody did?
Yeah.
Well. Danus was student, I think she did that for lithium vanadium.
Yeah, but this also
existing.
This is also lithium
vanadium. Yeah. What was that?
But I don't remember.
I
can check.
But why do you need this?
Because if the hook we have oxygen, then there are quantum channels here.
Yeah. But I can check that. Because I think the student of Danus.
The orbital model will look completely different.
Yeah, but again, question about this orbital part. This is not all terms, yeah? I mean, why?
In this model, we can include only direct DD, and so on.
Yeah, we can say that we included only DD, or we can say that effectively we included DPPD. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we included only diagonal.
All cool
sigma.
On side. We're doing much, much more.
So what's the starting point?
If there is a two orbital cubic cross, then of course orbital equivalent to speed. If there is a three orbital, then there is, I mean,
Actually, you will see that the orbital ordering in this doubly degenerate manifold, one electron will come here.
Simple question or comment. I mean, if you want to write a quantum model, so even for two band, it's very complicated because there is so-called spin field. Remember,
it's
not by engineers, but for three band orbital bodies, awful many terms.
Okay, yeah.
You're
looking
on between two sides.
Just gained in our single side. Single side. Column interaction is complicated. Yeah? U, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then.
In Hubbard mode. Not in real life.
It's Hubbard mode. Multi orbital Hubbard model is complicated. Sure. If I use a covered model, well, maybe it's with U and up and down, but this is only one
order. The repulsion between electrons on different orbitals, different say.
Yeah, sure. It's very, very many terms.
And then you have an exchange in direction also.
Sure. Like an orbital exchange.
Yeah. Let me say that this is very simple model.
Maybe I can say that at least what you see, that the amount of oxygen at the formula is small. It means that hybridization is going to be small.
It's not a question of oxygen, it's a question of...
Yeah, of the path. Yeah. I know, but nevertheless, I mean, in the copper systems, you see a huge
I don't know why you're worried so much about all that. The app is an electron flow.
Yeah, and also, yeah.
Without charge fluctuations on the And there's still a lot of coupling once you start looking at exchanges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let me say again, this is a very simple model, but this is already complicated, as you said. We cannot solve it exactly, right? And actually, we approximate spin degree of freedom at the classical level in the following this calculation, and we apply the Monte Carlo simulation to study thermodynamics. Okay. So this is frustrated pile graph system with spin, orbital, and lattice. Mm-hmm. So already very complicated. You agree? Okay. Okay. If you want to go to beyond, then you can do that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Everything is classical because orbital is already classical at this level because it is twisted pots, and we treated phonons as classical. So only quantum contribution comes from spin, but we approximate this as classical. And this is a typical Monte Carlo data for the specific heat and the magnetic susceptibility, and if we choose the parameter, then we can get this kind of behavior, temperature dependence of specific heat. It shows two anomalies. One is first order Young here, and the other one is diverging continuous transition. And actually, we estimated entropy, and the estimates are very consistent with the experimental estimates. And also, we obtain this kind of temperature dependence of magnetic susceptibility.
And right, in your model, there's entropy associated with the lattice as well?
And yeah. Actually, this is a lattice and orbital transition. Yeah. And the change is about 30 or 40% of log 3. And the value itself is consistent with extent. And I believe that in extent,
so the log 3 is just counting the orbital entropy.
Yeah, or spin. Yeah, you can say spin or orbital. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, the experiment also, the estimate is about 30 or 40 of log 3. So that's the value.
What about if one takes tries to integrate the entropy up to higher temperature, see how much you're actually getting?
Do
you have some entropy, which is the spin entropy and the orbital entropy?
Yeah, actually, we just estimated the change of entropy here. Because in the classical model, the integrated entropy
is like, experiment.
Oh, let's go back.
That's in some sense a test of how good the model without charge fluctuations looks like.
So the data is only up to 80. Yeah, 80. Probably at higher temperature, for example, they subtract some things. I don't know.
Well, let's just QDY is
a constant. QDY is constant is about 1,000 Kelvin. It's much higher than this temperature. Because this is highly frustrated system.
But since orbital transition occurs at such a low temperature now on this material, you can look at the kind of QDY like behavior of
For example, the Curie-Weiss type behavior is obtained at very, very high, 800 or 500.
I mean
Curie-like. It's large value of QD constant, real QD constant for me, somehow. Is it okay that it come out from
I think this Curie-Weiss behavior is determined by J in our model, and our J is several hundred Kelvin, so I think it's okay. And this temperature dependence is also at least qualitatively consistent with experimental data. There is a jump and there is very tiny change.
could it be due to the, I don't know, conflict, paramagnetism, you know, because you have several orbital and some transitions between them.
In this calculation there is no.
Sorry, on the right hand plot, where's your calculation? We know all
these.
All calculations seem to be different.
Sizes. Yeah.
Excuse me, did you do some paratempering for this? Or, I mean,
what? Sorry?
Did you do some tempering, paratempering?
No. Oh. This is very simple, local field. Because you know that the Pythagorean lattice is not so hard. And for example, the simple Heisenberg classical spin, you can go down to very low temperature by local field because of the some, how to say, degeneracy. And the, I show here the orbital and spin structure at the lowest temperature. What we obtain, and this is the orbital ordering pattern, and this is the spin ordering pattern, and you can see that we found that the layer type, we call it A-type orbital order, in one layer dxy and dzx orbitals are occupied, and in the next layer dxy and dyz orbitals are occupied, and so on. And the important point is that the dxy is singly occupied at all the sites. And the dzx and dyz are occupied alternatively along these directions. And the, so this is a theoretical prediction, our prediction, and I will discuss this in comparison with other proposals. So, and the magnetic sector, this is a completely consistent pattern with the neutron scattering experimental data. And the, I want to explain the mechanism of these transitions. So let's think about the instability in the high temperature phase. And if we assume the orbital parastate in our model, it means that we replace the orbital sector as the by the averaged value in the Kugel-Komsky model, then we obtain this kind of effective spin model. And this is isotropic Heisenberg model with anti-ferromagnetic coupling. And it has been shown that this model shows no long-range ordering down to t equals zero. So this means that the spin correlations have been developed by themselves alone, so without any help from the lattice or orbital degrees of freedom. But on the contrary, in the orbital sector, if we assume the spin parastate, in the orbital sector, we obtain this kind of effective model. This is the very anisotropic three-state Bott model, and the interaction depends on the bond direction and orbital states, as I mentioned.
Sorry, Reimer studied the...
they study the ground state. Yeah, actually ground state. So, I don't know, but there might be some possibility to have some.
For the nearest neighbor.
Yeah, and they did ferromagnetic JSB case by Monte Carlo simulation. And in that case, they obtained a phase transition. But this here, the JSB is anti-ferromagnetic.
Yeah.
And at least in the ground state, it is on the disorder line. They did.
Ground state, they're still degenerate.
And disordered state. And they didn't do any Monte Carlo simulation for the anti-ferromagnetic J3, so we don't know, but the probably, of course, there might be some possibility to have order from disorder effect, but we don't know. Anyway, it is rather difficult to have the spin ordered by themselves alone. And here, the orbital sector is very anisotropic, and it can lift the degeneracy partially. And the, for example, this orbital configuration, it is in the previous result. This is one of the lowest energy state in this unit. And the, finally, the tetragonal antenna distortion helps to lower this state, and this is the unique ground state in this mean field type analysis. So this is why the orbital ordering takes place first, before spin ordering. And once
the, without the antenna,
there is still a partial degeneracy.
Yeah, what about about this Dr. Jekyll and Perkins?
They argued the degeneracy also.
They found a difference.
Yeah, different. There are some choices. Yeah, there are some choices. And they didn't. They included spin orbit coupling. I will discuss that later.
The cubic.
Yeah.
The cubic things.
And once the orbital is ordered, we obtain very anisotropic spin system. Actually, our orbital ordered state, dxy is singly occupied, and it has very large overlap along the xy chain. So there is very strong anti-ferromagnetic spin exchange along this 110 chain. This is the largest chain. And the nearest neighbor exchange between these chains, J prime is rather small, and it is ferromagnetic. And actually, it is about 10 times weaker than J. So this is very anisotropic quasi-1D spin system under the orbital ordering. And we included also J3, and it is smallest energy scale in this model, and it is only 2% of J. And finally, this J3 connects this 1D chain to a stabilized three-dimensional spin ordering at lower temperature Tn. So, orbital degree of freedom play an important role here. It reduces the dimensionality effectively in this system, and it makes the system as quasi-1D spin chains. And this quasi-1D nature is responsible for the reduced magnetic moment at ground state, in our opinion, in our result. Actually, here we apply the linear spin wave analysis, and I don't want to go into the details of the results, but anyway, we obtained the very large reduction of the moment for our ground state spin configuration because of the dimensionality reduction.
Should be spin one chain.
I mean, it
should be gapped if J3.
Oh, yeah. But you know that the spin one Helden chain is very weak for the intercheckup. Actually, it is, the gap is collapsed by the, I don't remember the number, but I think several percent of J.
2%?
No. 4 or 2. I don't remember.
That puts 2%.
Oh, okay.
I think it's both.
No. Okay, let me see. I don't remember, but the. Yeah, actually, here we have many neighbors, but the. Anyway, the gap is very fragile to the interchain coupling. Of course, the gap itself is 40% of J, but actually the susceptibility is very huge in certain chains, so it's very fragile.
Is that easy to say, which energy is actually giving at the first transition? Is it this exchange energy or a gradient energy?
Okay, so there is structural change, so there is a gain in the lattice sector. Mm-hmm. And also there is orbital ordering, so there is energy gain in the orbital sector. And also in the spin sector, we have 1D correlation, development of 1D correlation. So there is energy gain in the all sectors. And below the orbital ordering transition, we have very rapid increase of 1D spin correlation. That is why we don't see any large entropy change or a large change of magnetic susceptibility at magnetic transition.
Magnetic susceptibility of specific heat should have a tail, right?
High temperature?
High temperature.
Yeah. Yeah, in that sense, again, this is geometrically frustrated system, so partial entropy has been released.
But is it so in experiment, or does it have really a tail?
Yeah. Okay, so... Yeah, this is a short summary.
Once again, question. Can you prove that, let's say, which part of the energy gain is due to this exchange, which part comes from electromagnetic coupling?
So you were asking that is it
the high temperature transition?
What is the most dominant?
Yeah, what's the more important? What is it, the bigger part of energy gain?
In your simulation, is that the
energy? Yeah, we didn't estimate separately.
But it's if you simply just
if we neglect the antenna coupling, then the orbital sector has still partial degeneracy.
Yeah, but if you force it to be
force
the same structure,
by
but,
what?
Then they increase the antenna coupling to the gradient.
We didn't do that. Yeah, we can do. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
But you can also ask about the expectation value of the exchange coupling and the expectation value of the Antenna coupling.
Yes, yeah.
Scale describing
the
splitting. Ask about that just below the transition. How
do
they compare?
Yes.
Yeah. If there is this corporate antenna without the orbital.
But actually, the antenna itself wants to, you know, to be this expansion of one area, not contraction.
Yes.
So it's actually the other.
That
so
is opposite.
It's mainly the gain and exchange energy.
Yeah, actually, this C-axis shrinkage is rather consistent with spin orbit coupling. Yeah.
Nice.
It's opposite.
Yeah.
Okay, so here I
want to make a point, actually, because in principle, actually, you have an antenna which only takes into account coupling to this tetragonal state, net tetragonal itself. But generally speaking, if you later on have also, say, this will occupy XY, and then later on you have this XZYZ order, which would should also be coupled to some other type of thing.
Yes, exactly.
And this would also contribute somehow to this effective ordering of remaining XZYZ order.
Yeah, exactly.
This one you did not.
Yeah, we didn't take into account the additional
coupling. We
only included this. So, yeah. Okay, these are what we did.
Yeah, probably just look at the end. If you know spin on the structure, just go and do some LDA calculation. You should do all kinds of distortion and estimate the energy difference. So this is easy if you know the structure. If you know orbital and spin structure, it's probably easy to answer your question.
Yeah, we show the in the next slide different orbital states. So yeah, we can do that. Okay, so what we obtained is listed here. So I think almost everything seems to be consistent with experiment in thermodynamics. And the last point is important point. We predicted A-type anti-ferro orbital ordering in the lowest temperature phase. And this point has been criticized by other people after our work. And actually there has been several proposals, theoretical proposals, and basically we can categorize the models into three different models. And one is ours, and we predicted this kind of layer type orbital ordering, and the symmetry is A41 over A. You note that this symmetry is different from the experimental powder diffraction data A41 over AMD experiment result. So that was point criticized by one of the organizers of this workshop, Oleg Chernyshov, in 2004. And he focused on this symmetry, and he proposed a model with emphasis on the relevance of relativistic spin-orbit coupling. And his model predicted this kind of ferro-type uniform orbital order with complex orbital combination YZ plus IZX or YZ minus IZX, something. And the, yeah, this is uniform orbital ordering, so the symmetry is different, A41 over AMD, and this is consistent with powder diffraction data. And the third model was proposed by Daniel Komsky in 2005, and this is rather different approach. These two models are based on the strong coupling picture, but this is started from, I can say that in itinerant picture. So this is a kind of Brandian picture, and they call this orbitally driven pious ordering, and the symmetry is quite different. And here, the our model breaks the mirror and diamond glide symmetry. M is mirror, D is diamond glide, and he, in their model, in your model, the in addition to mirror and diamond glide, face center symmetry is broken. So, and the, as I said, the experimental powder diffraction data is consistent with this symmetry. And also after these looks, the mean field calculation by Perkins group, and also the first principle calculation by Professor Valenti. And the, these two arguments are consistent with this picture. These calculations predicted the uniform orbital ordering.
Sorry, the predictions are all for the orbital sector at the ground state?
Yeah, and also the spin sector has been...
Is it supposed to assume that this same orbital order exists in the intermediate temperature range?
Oh, the, oh for example, these arguments are for ground state, actually. Yeah. Yeah, not for thermodynamics. That's the point, actually. I will come back to it. Yeah, you know that if the spin orbit coupling is dominant, then the transition should be different. I mean, in general, we should have a single transition, one transition, because there is very strong coupling, on-site coupling between the orbital sector and spin. So once orbital or spin is ordered, then the other degree of freedom follows, in general. So yeah, at least for me, it is rather difficult to have two transitions once the spin orbit coupling is relevant.
Don't I guess that's my question about the second one, is that in the ground state, I guess, you also have magnetic order with this, so just having that means you have broken time reversal.
He claimed that the, yes.
Is it possible to have this state without broken time reversal?
Yeah, actually this breaks the time reversal symmetry, but the, I remember that he argued the spin ordering pattern in the ground state, and he claimed that the, he can have consistent spin ordering pattern with the experimental data using this model.
Sir, I would talk to you about your when you did the calculations in spin orbit, you took this symmetry as granted,
So what I took is the...
Were you allowed also for lower symmetry? Did you also allow for possibility of lower symmetry?
No, I took the tetragonal symmetry that was given from experiment.
So you kind of imposed it. You
yes.
did not check.
No,
whether,
I didn't.
You didn't allow for some...
I let them relax. This I did, but within this tetragonal symmetry.
Only within the tetragonal symmetry.
Yeah.
You didn't allow to...
No, I didn't check the other... I didn't check, for instance, this one, the P41, because for that, I should
no, but at least this one,
this one is low on symmetry. This one there.
Okay. But yeah, but did you allow it?
No, because Lee told me that in fact they checked and they didn't find this symmetry. That's why I thought okay.
So it's rather easy actually in this.
Yeah, it is.
Because you keep atomic coordinate, but you remove the symmetry elements and check whether you get lower energy. Or
I could, I could do that. The only thing is that
no, we did it actually. That's why.
Yeah, and you did it. Okay.
Yeah, because. Well, we did it already 2 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
And then we compared it all three. Didn't publish it actually, but Huawei did it 2 years ago. So that's really
so I
didn't
know
then that. Indeed it was still this without the coupling, this you can
Yeah, this I also get, yeah.
But even if we allow, so we compare actually all three.
Okay, you also have the trigonal distortion then.
Yes.
You also have the trigonal distortion.
Trigonal distortion wasn't only because it's coordinate, atomic coordinate.
Okay. So
not,
you also have that.
It's an issue.
Yeah.
Right. So atomic coordinates we kept all,
mm-hmm.
but we allowed system to to remove some symmetry element. We didn't really include any symmetry. So this thing itself could choose the symmetry, but keeping the same atomic order.
Okay.
So orbital order could be any.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, it was possible to stabilize actually all these solutions here locally stable. This program was convergent actually, so it was all locally stable solutions. And then you compare energy.
Yeah.
And without pin orbit coupling, leads to the supermatomic work better. But spin orbit coupling, well, we still are working on that actually. You who are still checking and rechecking and some using different codes and so on, but it's not quite satisfied here. That's why we publish anything. And with spin orbit coupling, indeed, this middle one became better. And what on the right hand side also was only somewhat worse, not much, but somewhat worse. But I think you wanted to know because it depends very much on which code you use, whether you use the full potential or
normally you need to do full potential and ignore all the symmetry.
Yeah, that's the
21st century is as simple as going to take a coffee. You took a glass code. Ignore all the symmetry and run the program.
You use Caparmelo. You have to use Caparmelo, and then you do Caparmelo, and you let your system just relax. That's it.
So no, I think you wanted to check. I thought that you did it also.
No, I just we did that because I just talked to the experimenters, and they assured me no, this is the symmetry we have. So, but it's easy to do. I mean,
easy, very easy.
Easy, I know.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we are playing in the very complicated one. So yeah, anyway, the most important issue should be the role of relativistic spin orbit coupling in this system. So as I said, in the both theoretical and the powder diffraction data, the orbital ordering is consistent with the dominant effect under spin orbit interaction. But as I mentioned, I have some doubts in the some dynamics because if we have very large spin orbit coupling, then the transition should be single. It is heavy to have two different transitions, the on-site strong coupling. But anyway, at this stage, we don't have any some dynamic calculations by including spin orbit coupling. So that is the issue to be answered.
If spin orbit ordering is here, so interaction is here important, that means that it's also important in perovskite phenolate or why here? I mean, so.
Yeah, that's actually also an issue because in principle we know the spin orbit coupling is important for heavy 3D.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for light 3D, like the
Daniel,
until now at least it was always kind of ignored and.
Yeah, in titanate or vanadate.
It could be that actually here it's simply because of filtration. It could be that, you know, actually the spin orbit coupling, it's indeed, if it works together simultaneously with spin, well, that's actually this point that there should be one transition.
But I mean, you can also have frustration.
Usually for simple things like perovskite, this interior is stronger, or for the logic of whatever nature, okay? It's much stronger, and it occurs at higher temperature, and then it quenches for the moment, because actually it's always opposite. The interior and spin orbit, they just have a tendency to cool and cool.
No, okay, orbital exchange may be frustrated, but the interior cannot be frustrated.
No, in any case, simple materials actually is always orbital ordering occurs separately and change for the moment. Mm-hmm. So why here it's not the case, if it's not the case, I don't really know.
That's
the same problem as usually.
So just a open-minded question, if you just preserve the local symmetry of vanadium site and you include spin orbit, what's the multiplet structure?
On the atomic.
Yeah.
That was actually discussed by Oren Chench. And he obtained the, yeah.
You summarize?
Yeah, he obtained that orbital state. Complex. YZ plus IZX. That's a multiple.
That's a single
state. A single site.
That's one state. So what?
Oh, yeah, I mean, there is...
And that's presumably also using, he's using the symmetry of the lattice. So if I just assume I still have a full cubic.
Yeah, I don't remember in detail, but yeah, he included Yantera also, but it doesn't... if I remember correctly,
Ionic model,
and he included Yantera also, right?
Yeah,
that's a perturbation. Yeah, it's a perturbation, and it doesn't really any business existing, if I remember correctly.
But with the cubic crystal field and spin orbit...
Then you add one from spin of two electrons here, and one from effective number. And I don't know what will be the ground state, so two... But I think what Alek did is probably because he at least he got this ZX, that Y plus, that probably he must start with this W, yeah.
Yeah.
He only worked with W.
Yeah.
No, but in principle, that's the equation for the moment. If there would be indeed in orbit coupling, and then would it give you moment which is bigger than pure spin or smaller than pure spin?
They argue that there should be reduced by the anti-harmonic coupling between the orbital moment and the spin moment. That is the issue here. And so in this scenario, spin orbital scenario, the reduced moment is
not the coupling.
Yes, because
I never remember.
Actually, it is the anti-ferrotype coupling between L and S.
You also see it in the calculations. You get we get 0.9 or something.
There are two different scenarios for that also.
I'm sure curious, did anybody try to include spin orbit in calculating
the properties of the dates in perovskites? I don't know. Daniel, did
In cobaltite, there was some discussion.
But usually, actually, there is always some distortion which you know and which stabilize singlet level. Singlet, so people feel this strange one at the moment. I think you don't remember whether it was included. Say, for instance, one from Titanic. We did it and we did not include it, and then Ole Anderson later needed to include it. And I don't remember whether
they don't have spin orbit problem.
No,
because they don't have it in LM2, so.
So this is the big issue. And I want to make very brief remark on this issue from the recent experiments on the X-ray diffraction for single crystal of related spinel manganese vanadium compound. Actually, in this zinc compound, as I said, the X-ray diffraction has been done only for powder sample. Recently, in this related vanadium spinel, they obtained very large single crystal, and they analyzed the symmetry of the lowest temperature phase. And in this compound, actually the manganese have moment, and the configuration is 3D5, so the orbital is quenched in the manganese site. But vanadium site has 2D electrons, so this is the same situation for the zinc vanadium 204. And actually the thermodynamics is a little bit different. In this case, we have single transition and structural and the spin order. And actually, the low temperature phase has non-collinear ferry type, so the manganese moment, say, downwards, then the vanadium side has this kind of...
It's a compression,
yeah? Yeah, compression, yes. And the compression is a little bit larger, almost twice compared to the zinc case. And this low temperature phase has been analyzed by using X-ray diffraction, and here is the data. And this 802 peak corresponds to diamond-grade symmetry. And below TC, TN, they observed, you can see that this clear peak here. So the diamond glycinate is broken in the other phase. And this position is corresponding to the phase center symmetry, and you cannot see any peak, clear peak here. So it means that the phase center symmetry is whole, preserved. So from these facts, they concluded that the symmetry is I41/A. So this is the same symmetry as we predicted in the zinc case. So this is different from I41/AMB in the zinc case. But anyway, the compound is different, so you can say that probably the symmetry might be different between these two compounds. But I want to stress that the peak intensity of this, for example, diamond glide, is very, very tiny. Actually, by using this large single crystal, they observed about 10 to the minus 4 times smaller than the fundamental peaks, such as tetragonal peak. So it is very, very difficult to observe this kind of symmetry broken state by using powder samples. I think this is a very important lesson from this related spinel. So anyway, we need single crystal for zinc compound to settle our controversy.
Excuse me, what about the manganese sublattice? Does it, I mean, this is spin 5-halves.
Yeah, this is A-site. So manganese have own diamond lattice.
So do you see any phase transition for this one?
There is only one transition, single.
Only this one.
And there happens the structural transition and magnetic transition happen simultaneously.
Again,
Grigor Tantadlachev. Oh, I don't remember, but I believe so. Okay, there are several other issues. For example, the role of trigonal distortion, and also the D and DT, this was discussed in my talk. And we want to understand the orbital and spin ordering in this related manganese oxide. And also, I wanted to stress again that we need some large single crystal for zinc case.
It says that it's non-collinear, what is the main motif for forging of vanadium? Is it similar to zinc concentrate or is it completely
In the Zeros approximation, my expectation is the mechanism is similar to zinc. And manganese is a kind of external magnetic field to the vanadium sublattice.
Yeah, but
So this is a neutron data by Plumian and Sotogi, and they only showed this figure, and I didn't find any global.
Along this,
the anti-ferro component is there.
This is a
ferrotype. But I don't know the next, so yeah. I don't
know. It's only one opinion itself, so if you feel the same, that's it. Translation.
No. In unit cell, there are four such here.
Yeah, but in the zinc case, we have eight sites. So
four formulations.
But you say it's essentially the same anti-ferromagnetic only because of the field from manganese it becomes kinetic.
Yeah, I don't know the details of the what we have on the magnetic structure, but yeah, this is fairy and non-collinear. So the we should think about our model under the magnetic field or something. So yeah, we didn't.
Yeah, but okay, Sam, fine. This component of oxidation that maybe due to the capital magnesium that is down and this event maybe just.
Yeah, magnesium is down.
But the other component, the tin-plane component, are this thing, is the same as the big one date or different?
Sorry, I don't know. I will check that. Yeah, I don't know.
There are many spinels with magnetic atoms on the A and B sites. It's the A B exchange is larger than all others.
Yeah, in this case,
usually it is if it says something like iron or manganese. But if it is say one element, I'm not sure, I don't know.
Yeah, for example, the, in the old discussion of baby spinels, the, this kind of fairy state is obtained for the large AV cup.
Right, it's very natural.
So probably the AV cup is large.
In my guess.
But if it would be very strong, it would be simply collinear sublatics of one, A sublatics, and B sublatics would be also all collinear, like in magnetite. But it's not, actually. It's definitely more complicated. So apparently, B interaction is also important. If it would not be, it would be much weaker than AB.
Yeah,
well,
it could be like quite a bit weaker, because there are many more BB experiences.
Yeah. Probably vanadium interaction should be weaker, but the. Yeah, probably it plays some role to have non-collinear state. Okay, so this is the end of first topic. So, and the almost. So shall I stop here or may I continue quickly? Okay, so 15 or 20 minutes, please. And the, I will quickly do this. This is the aluminium panelate. And here I want to make some comments on this self-formed cluster. So this is a different system. Vanadium valence is 2.5 plus. So we have 2.5 d electrons per vanadium. So here we have charge degrees of freedom also. So this is much more complicated system. And the, this compound shows a phase transition at 700 Kelvin. And this is a structural change, and the below this temperature, the X-ray shows a doubling of the unit cell along the 111 direction of the cubic unit cell. 111 means this direction, perpendicular to the Kagome slice of the pyrochloridase. And this is a temperature dependence of resistivity and magnetic susceptibility, and you can see some shoulder behavior in the resistivity, and the system is insulating both above and below TC. And the magnetic susceptibility shows some sudden drop at TC, and the, it is followed by this kind of Curie-like behavior at low temperatures. And actually, in this experimental paper, the authors have proposed balance skipping type charge ordering for this transition, and the, that charge ordering state is shown, schematically shown in this insect. In this pyrochloride Kagome slice, they assume vanadium 2 plus state. And in this gray side, this is from the large triangle that is in this pyrochloride. And they assume the vanadium 4 plus state on these gray walls. And, but the, this scenario, balance-skipping type triangular scenario, we noted that this has some problems. One is the periodicity along 111 direction is not doubled in this charge of that state. As I said, the periodicity, I mean, unit cell is this foresight. So the unit cell is not changed in this charge of that state. But structurally, this is doubled. So this dependent structure is not consistent. And the second point is that it is not so clear to have this kind of, for example, sudden drop of the magnetic susceptibility by this charge differentiation. And the very recently, another experimental group did the detailed X-ray diffraction data on this compound, and they obtained new findings. And they, this is the structure what they obtained. And the in this figure, 111 direction is this direction. Then they obtained, they found very strong trimer formation within the Kagome layer. So this, for example, this bottom layer is the Kagome layer. You can see very strong bond shrinkage in this trimer. Actually, but the bond length is 2.61, and it is very, very short compared to the long bond, 3.14 or so. So this is very strong trimerization within the Kagome layer. And the crystal in this lattice there are three different vanadium sites. These yellow V1 sites and V2 sites, and the, these Kagome V3 sites. So this is the, this is due to the doubling of unit cell. And so the by looking at this strong thermalization, naively we can think that the spin singlet some kind of spin-singlet formation within these frameworks to explain the sharp drop in the magnetic susceptibility. And we can be attempting to say that these isolated moments should give Curie-like behavior at low temperature. But here we propose a different cluster, this seven-size cluster, we call this heptamer, as the origin of singlet state to explain the sudden drop of the magnetic susceptibility. So the questions are twofold. One is what the mechanism of the heptamer formation is. And so in other words, how the degeneracy in the frustrated particle system is lifted. And in the second level, we want to know that how we can get this singlet state in the heptamer. And actually, at this stage, we couldn't answer this first question. This is very big, complicated problem. Pyrocular system with charged spin orbital degrees of freedom. We haven't solved this yet. So this remains as the open issue, but here we want to argue this second question. So we assume the heptamer here. So we assume the localized isolated moment outside these heptamers, and we assume that this is P1 by looking at the Curie component in the magnetic susceptibility. So this number of electrons is consistent with the low temperature Curie behavior. And we started from the T2G multi-orbital Hubble model for each heptamer, and we included sigma type transfer and pi type transfer, and the trigonal distortion in the center of sight, and also we included the Coulomb interaction. And also we assumed, for simplicity, we assumed the sigma type bonding state in these trimers because this bond length is extremely short. And there is very large sigma type transfer integrals, and it may form a strong bonding state. So, like this. So this is our effective heptamer model, and we solved this by using the exact diagonalization to clarify the ground state. And we show here the ground state degeneracy in the parameter space, and we found two different singlet regions. For example, this is the result for non-interacting case as a function of d pi is a pi type transfer integral, and this axis shows the trigonal distortion in the central side. And you can see red region and blue region. These are singlet states. And this state is like this. So the bonding state is formed along this diagonal bond by this strong sigma hopping. And in this blue region, we have different types. The bonding state is formed within the trimers by using large d pi. And the remaining two electrons enter in the A1G state, lowered by trigonal distortion. So the question is, what happens to these states by including Coulomb interaction? And this is the result for UCO4 and UCO8. Then you can see that the both singlet states shrink by interaction, but this sigma type singlet state is rather robust against the interaction, but this blue guy, pi type singlet state, is pushed out from this parameter space. So this is fragile actually. So, and the question is, where is the real system? But and it is difficult to say that the value of parameters, but we here borrow the value from Slater Costa parameters for the hopping integrals. Then the ratio is around here, along white lines. So it is within the, for example, UCO focus, within the sigma type singlet state. So from this result, we concluded that our effective heptamer model, it has a singlet ground state. It is sigma type. And actually, it is schematically shown here. So this singlet state is kind of molecule of the bonding states of the three T2G orbitals. For example, this bonding state is formed by DXY orbital, which has a large overlap along the XY bond. So So this molecule is covered by 9 bonding states with 3 P2G orbitals. So here the anisotropy of the orbital transfer interval is very important here. That's why we thought about this heptamer here. And we actually estimated the spin gap, which is defined by the excitation gap to the first magnetic excited state. And I don't want to go into details of the results, but anyway, the estimate is a little bit larger, twice or something, compared to the experimental one. But here, we consider only isolated heptamer. So probably we should include some coupling between heptamers, and we may reduce the value of spin gap. And we hope that we can get some reasonable value. But anyway,
is there elastic neutron data on this thing?
Actually, no. At least I don't know.
Presumably, in this kind of very strongly localized picture, you have very flat excitations.
Exactly. Okay, so we have spin rate in this heptamer, and the localized moment outside V1 site, S equal 1. So the combination of these contributions, we can comprehensively explain the temperature dependence among magnetic
systems. This extra local moment outside the heptamer. In your model, you simply just assumed it,
yeah? It is an assumption.
You just put 18 electrons.
It's very, very simple.
Kind of input.
We just assume the...
Somehow chemical potential of electrons should be the same, yeah? They shouldn't go from...
Yeah, but if we believe this experiment, the bond length is very large. Distortion is consistent, but that is a very assumption in the model.
Somehow, three-dimensional analog of lithium monodium method.
It's next step, actually, more complicated.
Lithium monodium?
Lithium monodium. Lithium DO2, like we have 3 minutes.
Okay, I will go to the lithium monodium.
Actually, we did already this again, many calculations, again, which are detailed with a few. And if you, of course, put this latent distortion, then of course you reproduce these singlets and you reproduce all the picture. And indeed, the charges are correct, more to correct. Our problem was really that we're asking to do it, actually. Yes?
Okay.
To understand, to get some feeling of why just this particular strange combination, why not? You probably have to write it down because all that is not finished, really. But interpretation, what to extract of it, is kind of a problem.
Okay.
Most people, part of it actually is simple because in carbonyl layers, this trivialization is easy. It's kind of pious actually in most indirect pious. So that's essentially will be a very similar picture to this layer of lithium anode. The only difference is that. Then it will train your physics and your net, but same physics. Kind of quasi one-dimensional shape, but again, it's the structure
does not
That is a very important question. Yeah.
Okay.
I expected
there would be some electric, and we didn't see it.
Oh, yeah.
But you think it's very localized feature also?
Yeah, that's actually introduced, of course, yeah.
Okay.
But it doesn't clarify why heptamers are better in this case than anything else. That's the problem.
Yeah. So for that problem, we need some dynamic calculation by including lattice.
So do you have any ideas why indeed in this particular system?
We don't have any.
Why is that complicated logic?
I want to know.
Another question again, so the temperature at which this happens is what?
700 K.
700?
Yeah.
Distortion
is
very strong.
Distortion is strong.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
Would have been very surprising
if the flow temperature.
Okay,
there is very big change in
graphics.
So.
Yeah, huge.
Okay, so this was told by Daniel already. So, we have.
Formulated.
Yeah, probably everybody wants to know the reason to have this kind of very complicated cluster. So anyway, that is very open, interesting question, but yeah, I want to make some related comment.
Maybe one question. Okay. When you included this U, because this picture of molecules is kind of completely like ordinary, like chemists use molecular orbital without any.
The point was that if
U, what does it give you, I can't tell you.
Yeah, this stabilizes a single state.
Stabilizes or gestalt?
This stabilizes. But my point is that the sigma type singlet is rather stable against Coulomb traction. That is the point of our calculation.
That's actually the like difference in hydrogen molecule between what the chemists call molecular orbital, LKO and O, and hydrolondon. And hydrolondon and dimers also give very stable singlet. And here it's not,
yeah? Yeah, it's not.
Here it's...
Of course, it is, the region is shrinking, but it remains, robust.
But the single gap reduces in
here. The gap is reduced, yes.
Reduced.
Okay, so, my comment, final comment is on this lithium monadate. Actually, we found the cluster formation in this mixed planet camp. So our question is that is there a similar phenomenon, cluster formation in other mixed valence compounds? And probably everybody knows about the heavy fermion behavior in this compound. This is again the mixed valence compound. The number of d electrons is 1.5. And probably everybody knows about the controversy on the theoretical interpretation of the heavy fermion behavior. And there are two different scenarios. One is Kondo scenario, and the other is geometrical fluctuation. And I want to point out the important experimental facts in this, but in the lithium monadate. That is the insulator, metal insulator transition under pressure. This is the resistivity, temperature dependence of resistivity under pressure. This is ambient pressure, and if you apply pressure, then the system becomes insulating. So this is a transition from metal to insulator. So this is completely opposite to the usual correlated electron system. In general, if you apply pressure, the transition occurs from insulator to metal because the pressure enhances the overlap between the wave function and it enhances the bandwidth. So this is completely opposite. So, and also the very recently, the EXAPS is the extended, I don't remember, X-ray or something, is suggesting that the existence of very short and long vanadium-vanadium bonds in this insulating state. So this is very suggesting fact. So from these facts, I don't know, but there is a very interesting possibility to think about some cluster formation in this lithium monadate. But the cluster formation might occur when you apply pressure, because the cluster formation, the wave function overlap is very important because of to form some bonding state. So
the
question
is that
the uniaxial pressure, or is it probably this is not uniaxial, I don't know. I don't remember, but this should be some
stuff. It's supposed to be hydrostatic, but...
Yeah, probably hydrostatic. But I don't know where this data has been published. Do you know? Actually, I have taken this figure from the PhD thesis. I don't know what the, Takagi-sensei has shown this figure many times, but I don't know. Okay, anyway, I want to point out some interesting possibility to have cluster formation in this mixed valence compound also. And if that is the case, we can say that the lithium monadate is very close to the instability to some cluster formation. And there might be some possibility to give some explanation for the heavy fermion behavior from that kind of scenario. I don't know, but you want to think. Okay, so long time, so. Yeah, this is a summary, so I should stop here. Thank you very much.
Was there any doping for aluminium anhydride?
Doping?
Try to dope it.
Oh, for example, if you change lithium to zinc, then the compound.
Aluminium, but I mean aluminium.
Oh,
aluminium.
I don't know.
You don't know,
eh? Probably they didn't change.
Because it looks like lithium-metanhydride is closely related to this proper number of electrons for the field.
But in that sense, the zinc vanadium is close to the virus, right? But this lithium vanadate is very, very special, because if you dope zinc, very small concentration of zinc, then the system becomes insulin, and the stained glass state appears in the glass.
Lithium vanadate, yeah?
Lithium being vanadate.
Lithium not by zinc,
yeah?
But and also, you don't know, aluminium, you don't know.
I don't know.
Any topic, you don't know.
Okay. I think this is a good time to
thank you for that.